The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Dee King is with me, News Talk producer, and Shane Hannan from Off the Ball for Winners and Sinners this week. Have you enjoyed the good weather, the last bit of summer?
Yeah, I've been stretching the shorts out as long as I possibly could.
Yeah.
Today I've gone for combats. Yeah, it's combats in the office today.
All right,
okay. I've got those ones that cut off at the knee just for both options, but it's been brilliant. It's finally.
The ones that with little zips in them or something,
yeah,
that you take off?
I think they're gone stylistically.
Were they ever in? Yeah,
for dads, they're in for dads. I think you can, if you're a dad, you can still wear them.
You've embraced this.
I'm leaning into it.
You're leaning big time into the dad thing.
100%. I'm doing all the dad jokes.
Doing
all these.
Did you buy a diamondy jumper, like a wool jumper?
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah, you
wear
can
it over your shoulder.
Advice.
You put it over your shoulder. I start putting jumpers over my shoulders now and tying them in front of my chest.
Asking for the check in the restaurant. Very
by writing in the air. Yeah, like Daniel Whiffen or something. Yeah.
I hope you get a money belt for your holidays.
Oh yes,
that'd be people.
Nobody can steal it. Yeah, 100%.
Very clever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So smart. But yes, to answer your question in a long-winded way, yes.
Do you know what I did? Actually, a girl walked past me. Well, it has come back in. Sorry, they're back in a long time. But I hadn't really seen the Adidas ones, the rip-offs.
Yes.
I know.
But are they sewn at the top? Because remember...
The Adidas ones were always sewn at the top. They always went down to kind of mid-thigh before they were rip-off.
But I think there was ones that you could rip the whole way off because as teenagers, many of us fell foul of those.
Yeah. It was crazy. There was a starter. Was that the brand? There was ones... I know a friend of mine had them. And all it meant is that he was basically naked from the waist down 50% of the time for about 2 years straight.
Yeah.
Because people were just ripping his trousers.
Sewing them for you in the evening. Like, this can't keep happening.
Anyway, we digress. Shane, who's your winner of the week?
Winner of the week. Well, her name is Sarah Gillis. And people may or may not be familiar with her because she was in the news in the last week or so because she played the violin in space. So this was a good news story, I thought. You knew by asking me and Kieran I was going to talk about space in some capacity.
Absolutely.
I was going to pick something space related. So this was a lovely moment. So she's a SpaceX engineer, an astronaut, but obviously a musician as well. But she performed Raise Theme, the famous song from Star Wars, on board the craft. Like, it was a fairly historic mission in a number of ways. It's the furthest any human being has travelled since the moon landings in 72. They went to a very, very high orbit.
Around the moon?
It was in Earth orbit, so they didn't actually quite go as far as the moon, but the apogee they reached was so high that it was actually above the space station and above most of the other
Earth orbit missions.
But it was this was just after she had done a 1 hour and 46 minute spacewalk as well. So it was great success for Elon Musk, in fairness.
So not a moonwalk, but a spacewalk.
Not a moonwalk, but a spacewalk. So floating around outside the craft, et cetera, et cetera. But she came back in and did the whole violin thing. And look, these things are people say they're tacky. Sometimes Chris Hadfield did it on the space station a few years ago.
He's played the guitar a bit, yeah.
Exactly. And look, it's an easy win for them. It's a public relations boost. But she raised money for charity, in fairness, as a result of doing this. And it was all for a great cause. It was in tandem with schools down on Earth as well. So a lot of school kids were performing instruments at the same time and they were trying to kind of tee them all up. So it was a good news story about space at a time when we kind of need it because Elon Musk is, of course, littering the stars.
He is, but before we talk about that, I mean, I assume that kind of the payload or whatever is really kind of well managed and there's pretty tight controls over it. Are there not easier instruments to bring up?
100%.
Like a tin whistle. Would someone not bring a tin whistle into outer space?
Well, equally, could you play the drums? Like, would you need gravity to bang?
That's actually a very good question.
That's a great question.
I've never thought of
that. Yeah, because when you hit the drum, pushing it away.
That's what I'm thinking. I wonder would it bang? I don't know.
Oh, gee, great question. If only there was a space geek in studio who knew the answer.
I've actually never thought of it. It's a good, they could have gone to Sarah and said, Sarah, bring a harmonica or something or a little tiny whistle. It would be a little.
I was in Mongolia, a friend of mine years ago, and they said to bring something. You have to, when you go into these kind of into their houses or whatever, it's kind of tradition. You kind of swap things or whatever. So he brought he brought like about 14 whistles in his backpack. So
that, no one's ever wanted.
Yeah, so there's like four yurts somewhere in Mongolia where there's like a tin whistle in the corner. Kids probably blowing the head off their parents. Jesus, those Irish people. I hope I never see another one again.
I never see them anywhere
shoving that tin whistle. It strikes me it would be easier. But sorry, Elon Musk is littering space with all his SpaceX satellites. Is that it?
Yeah, and this is becoming more and more of a problem. Anyone, anecdotally, if when you look up at space at night time, in a real clear night, which we've had the last few nights, you probably will notice satellites going overhead. And
I saw them taking off,
Oh, really?
From Kilkenny, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said from Kennedy. I thought you were
So I was, I didn't know. I Googled it and I realised. So it's amazing, Dee. I got out of the car after driving home from work, it was, and it was dark. And you see this thing overhead, and if you think kind of a shooting star or something or a satellite, like it's going way too fast for plane. And then you realize, equidistant, like loads of them in a row just going overhead. Wow. And I knew that has to be those SpaceX satellites. And I Googled it, and sure enough, Starlink, the launch had happened, the Starlink one, like about half an hour earlier or whatever it was, and it had reached.
It's really weird to see when you see it, because it's so organized and so ordered that you kind of think you're like, because when normal satellites pass over one by one, you're like, well, that's grand, but you really feel like you're being watched when it's a train of them, and you're like,
yeah, it's amazing. It's kind of amazing though.
It's Black Mirror sort of stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Look, you know,
but sorry, there's so much of them. We keep jumping across you. Yeah. What's happened?
So the figures from the BBC that they have at the moment, there are 6,402 Starlink satellites in orbit, approximately 550 kilometers above Earth. They're all pretty sizable. This doesn't sound sizable, but 3 meter flat panels, 8 meter solar array for power, which is reasonably big and causes, I mean, serious, serious disruption in terms of astronomers and stuff. They've been, different astronomers in the last few days have been saying, the skies are just impossible for them to see. The sky is so littered at different altitudes as well, which makes it difficult for them to head up. It obscures celestial objects. It's obscuring black holes. It's making it that astronomers can't basically see as far in the past, I guess, as it is, as we would.
And what are they mostly provide broadband? Is that it?
Yeah, 100%. And broadband to war-torn regions as well. In fairness, they've done.
And Central Europe during the floods, they were using it. So, 100%. Like, there is a value to it.
There is a value to it. And look, Elon Musk has the money to throw around and do all this, but it's, space kind of needed a little fun, nice, happy story. And I just thought, well, as simple as the violin is, it's something that distracts us from the absolute pollution that is Elon Musk's Starlink satellite. So great to watch, but yeah, not great for the space and the astronomers.
Dee, who's your winner of the week?
My winner is Paul Rudd's Irish accent in Only Murders in the Building. Did you watch it?
If no one has seen it or heard it, take a listen.
Don't worry, boys. I'll finish him off. Time to introduce him. To Bono and the Edge.
Oh! Wait!
Sorry, Charles. I apologize. I didn't mean to rile you up back there.
You threatened me with half of you, too.
Guy's just keeping up appearances, weren't I? I'm begging you. Can you help me get a job on your film?
Okay, so is this kind of going to go into the Tom Cruise canon from Far and Away, or
no, so
is he hamming it up?
In theory it could, but he's hamming it up so bad. It's so shockingly awful that I actually really enjoyed it. So like, obviously you watch these things and you're like, why can't you just cast an Irish person or not write the character as Irish? Why are there so many stupid Irish characters? But his was just really funny and stupid. It was so over the top. You heard in the clip there, he was talking about Bono and the Edge. They were his fists. He was starting a fight, so his two fists were Bono and the Edge. And then he says, which I really enjoyed at the end of that clip, he says, film, can you get me a spot on your film? And I don't know why, like usually I find them offensive, but this one is supposed to be taking the piss, and it was just so over the top. It was brilliant, and it's just, I think in general, a great excuse to talk about Only Murders, because it's such a great TV show.
Is it?
It is. Do you not watch it?
It's fine. I started watching it, and then we were watching something else, so I went a few weeks without watching the next episode, and then I realised,
I haven't seen it.
Not going to bother. Not going to bother. Go back.
Like,
it's meh.
No, it's not meh. It's pure silliness. It's kind of like a whodunit, but a ridiculous one. And people keep dying in this one apartment block. You'd be very worried if you lived there. And each time they're solving the crime,
it's
each
beautiful
series,
apartment block.
Gordon, I mean, they're very wealthy. They're famous.
Apart from
in
all
this.
The death, of course.
But it means the real estate keeps going to be coming available.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's
which
pros.
Which sometimes might be some of the plot.
I see.
But it's just really enjoyable. It's real, like, just fluff for the brain. All the actors in it are good. It's Steve Martin and I was going to say Martin Short. What is that his name? Yeah, Martin Short and Selena Gomez. And they're just lovely characters. And it's just it's out every Tuesday. So this was this week's episode. And
I'm sorry, it wasn't set here or anything. Because
no,
Paul Rudd was in Dublin making stuff earlier in the year.
He was. And apparently that was after he filmed it. And the showrunner for this series said that Paul Rudd actually texted him after his time in Ireland, was like, I really need to redo my Irish accent. But they were like, no, we're going to leave it in. It's charming. So like, there's no reason for the character to be Irish. The character's only been introduced in this episode, so we don't really know if that'll ever come. But it's just so over the top that I was like, you know what? For once, this isn't quite Wild Mountain Time. I'm actually just going to embrace it.
Yeah.
And just enjoy
so
it.
So I was at the portal earlier in the year and there was a young lad doing backflips off the bench. He was like, get out of my way and do a backflip, you know, and he was there with his friends, and then he did it and everyone's like, yeah, it's all great crack. And then he turns around to me and he goes, do you like me sunglasses? And he goes, they were Tom Ford sunglasses. And he goes, Paul Rudd gave them to me. And I was like, what?
What? So
and he goes, Paul Rudd's making a movie in me ma's gaff. And then he takes out his phone and shows me photos of himself and Paul Rudd in his mother's living room.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was when Paul Rudd was here and he gave him his sunglasses.
That
yeah.
Do you think he just says to every stranger he meets, do you like
yeah,
sunglasses?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And probably will for the next 20 years. And fair enough, so would I.
People get very prickly. Irish people get very prickly, though, about how we're depicted in things. I think we're too prickly.
I think so. And that's why this one I've just decided to embrace, because it's not, it's so ridiculous, as you kind of heard there, like it's so over the top that I'm like, no, we are lucky that we get such a world stage. Like we get more hop than we deserve.
We can embrace it when it's Paul Rudd, someone like Paul Rudd who's very likable. Like Gerard Butler in PS I Love You was shocking. God. And that this argument, oh, we should get an Irish person to do it. Jimmy Dornan's from County Down.
Yes.
And like Wild Mountain Time was absolutely
That's like, one of the great mysteries.
He's from
all mankind. Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
He put on an Irish accent.
Yeah. Just speak in your own accent, Jamie, if you're listening.
Yeah. But I find Emily Blunt in that just as offensive, because whatever about her accent, she was kind of like dirty and grubby the whole time, as if Irish people don't know how to wash. Yeah. Everything about that was terrible. Paul Rudd is not in that page. I'm making him a winner.
All right, okay. Paul Rudd is one of our winners of the week, as is Sarah Gillis for performing Ray's theme on the violin in Outer Space. God, they're different ends of the spectrum, aren't they? Dee, who's your sinner of the week?
So Miley Cyrus is being sued over the song Flowers.
Why?
It's one of these classic, it sounds too similar to our song vibes. So this is, you know the song Bruno Mars, If I Was Your Man? And they have been likened very obviously, I think it's an intentional.
Okay, let's take a listen to Miley Cyrus' Flowers. Okay, so that's Miley Cyrus, that's Flowers. What was the name of the song that she's being sued
over? Bruno Mars, When I Was Your Man.
Bruno Mars, When I Was Your Man.
Too young, too dumb to realize that I should have bought you flowers and held your hand.
Okay, so that's Bruno Mars. There's similarities.
Well, as you can hear, the choruses are really similar.
Yeah,
and it's very obvious Miley's being inspired by Bruno. I don't think she's in any way trying to hide that. But when does inspiration become copying? Mm. And also, I just don't like people going near Miley Cyrus. I'm a huge fan. Leave her alone. Let her do what she wants. But I just think this whole thing of like suing people over rights of music, where does it end? What do we end up with? It's just ridiculous. There should be more creative license. So I just think it's like when Ed Sheeran got sued recently.
Bruno Mars is suing her.
It's not Bruno Mars, interestingly.
Right, okay.
So there was co-writers on the song.
That would be a bit uncool.
No, it's not. So interestingly, he's not one of the people, which is obviously a bit of a stand he's taking. There were several co-writers and an investment company have bought the rights from one of the co-writers, and that investment company are suing. So it's Bruno Mars is not one of the people named in it, and it's very specifically just this investment company that is suing over the rights that they have purchased. They're saying the lyrics are too much the same and the chords are too similar.
But there's only like three chords in 99% of pop songs. So it's hard to say the chords.
Yeah. When he was up in court for Thinking Out Loud over the copying of Marvin Gaye, he brought in his guitar into court and he played four chords and was like, you can play any song with these. And if we have to stop playing these, then music will never be. He said he was going to quit music if he didn't win the case, which he then did win.
I was reading up on this today when I heard Dee was going to chat about it as one of the topics. And like that court case that you mentioned with Ed Sheeran, he had to, I guess, go into his reasoning and rationale behind the lyrics and behind the song and his thinking behind the song. There's word online that Flowers was written about Liam Hemsworth and the rocky relationship and the breakup really that the two had, and that Miley's main worry here potentially is that if it goes to a court setting, she might have to actually reveal finally that yes, it was about Liam Hemsworth, this song, because it's always been a kind of a murky secret that it was the music video, wasn't it, was filmed in the house in which he allegedly cheated on her. So there's a lot of underlying topics in this one, but if it does come to that, then it's going to be fascinating. But both great songs, just let them both have their money and get on with it, you know.
I think so, and really interesting that Bruno Mars isn't one of the people suing her. I think a musician isn't telling her she can't use this song. It's an investment company.
Your man is suing Donald Trump, isn't he? Jack White.
Yes, over the White Stripes, Seven Nation Army.
Because course it's over 7 digits.
Yeah, of course. What other, what other song would it be? Yeah, ring my doorbell.
Yeah, because he keeps playing it. But apparently, do you know the rest is entertainment? Everyone listens
of
to
course.
It.
Of course. So love amazing. It. Best podcast.
Great podcast if you're not listening to it. And I didn't realize they were talking about it this week. It's like he's suing Donald Trump over it. But most of the songs that get played at those venues are nothing to do with the candidate. They're just because they're a big entertainment venue. And they just... Oh, Donald Trump's 4 hours late. Put on the music that we usually play to warm up the crowd.
Yeah, it's the same. Like if you're, they have a license to play your song. If your song is allowed to be played at any pub or bar, it's in that licensing agreement.
Yeah, so that's what they do.
But was the Seven Nation Army one not that he was using to go on stage or something?
Yeah, or that that Donald Trump's campaign then packaged parts of the night of the whole event, including the kind of warm up stuff that had music in it, and then they put it out as their campaign video, and then you need special permission.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So that is your sinner of the week. People suing Miley Cyrus. Shane, who's your sinner of the week?
Spiders. All of them. All of them. Every single last spider.
Spider Stacey from the Pogues, who was on the show yesterday.
All respect to Spider Stacey. But
do you want to hear something funny about Spider Stacey from the Pogues? So he was in during the week, and I introduced him as Peter Spider Stacey, because that's his name first. And he actually is just Spider. And his manager was with him, and his manager turned to our producer, heard it, and said, "I never knew his name was Peter."
How long has he been his manager?
Oh God, I hope only a few hours, but I'd probably years.
I'd imagine. Yeah.
It's true, actually. His name is just Spider. He's probably been introducing himself as Spider. It probably jarred him. He probably hasn't heard the name Peter since his mother passed away.
Was there. Yeah.
Anyway,
I remember meeting Pillar Caffrey, the former Dublin manager, in the office one day, and I was like, "How are you, Paul? How are things?" And he said, "No, it's not Paul. It's never Paul. It's Pillar." And I was like, "Fair enough." I thought I was being polite, but it was like, "Nope. Some people are just known more by their nicknames." Like,
yeah,
you overstepped and
stuff. Yeah, a little bit. Spiders are overstepping. It has to be said.
Okay,
it's mating season, and that's why I've brought it up. So the house spiders, I think they're getting bigger. I think they've been at the gym. I think they're on the steroids. They're massive. Spider experts. I'm going to call them that. Say that the house spiders are only about 25 millimetres across. I don't believe it for a second. This week they've been all over our house at home. I don't particularly like spiders. Aoife at home absolutely hates them, to the point where the house smells like peppermint. She's been going into shops, buying the peppermint stuff, mixing it with water, spraying it, I mean, in every crevice of the house. On every corner, every windowsill, every floor.
And does it work?
I don't know, but we're still seeing some in the last couple of days. Maybe it's just the dying breed that are coming, trying to escape the peppermint and trying to get out the gaff.
You need to leave one room without it.
Is that
a control group, kind
okay.
of.
Well, yeah. I've heard the whole lemon, drops of lemon, I think, on windowsills as well. Not leaving leaves or anything too close to your house. I think lighting outside your house can draw them as well, so maybe turn off the lights at night time. It's going to be difficult as we get into the winter month as well, but... They're just everywhere at the minute. They're massive. I hate them. And I don't know if it's...
Have you always hated spiders?
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm an arachnophobe, but I strongly dislike them. And I know they probably do a good job. They probably get rid of insects and flies and that sort of thing and serve some sort of a purpose. But as soon as I see them, and again, I'll probably get in a bit of trouble for saying this, I hoover them up. I don't know if that's the humane thing to do with spiders. I'm told that there's all rumours going around that once you hoover up a spider... turn away your ears if you don't like spiders. They lay eggs, hundreds of them, inside the Hoover bag. Don't know if it's true. I'm gonna put it out there, and I've heard both sides of that argument. I'd like to think it's not. But my dad, for example, is more humane with the whole thing. Does the whole pint glass, puts the coaster underneath it, and takes them out the back and leaves them. I don't want to get that close to them with my hands. So Hoover's the only job. But I don't know how anyone else feels about it. I'm sorry to bring it up for anyone who's listening who hates spiders, but mating season is one of my least.
Why do you hate them? What is it about a spider that you hate so much I assume you don't go around hoovering flies?
No, they're fast. They're quick. I know they don't like us as much. Flies are quicker, and they can fly, in fairness.
They're much more of an apex predator there now, in that sense.
It's just the unpredictability of them. They're quick across the floor. You don't know where they are. People always say you swallow X amount of spiders in your own lifetime during your sleep. I hate these stats. You're never more than X meters away from a spider. There's probably one beside us right now. We just don't know about it.
Yeah.
And just the fact.
Well, I've got a big surprise for you, Shane. We've been planning this all day.
So I just don't. And it's the surprise element as well. We go this summer in. Enjoying ourselves, not really seeing too many spiders, and then boom, September hits, October hits, mating season hits. They come out of the woodwork, quite literally, looking for looking for mates, and I just don't
is
like it.
Is it not more terrifying the rest of the year because you know they're still all there, but they're just not on the pull?
Maybe, but you know, they're more dangerous when they're on the pull, Kieran, in fairness. Do you know, they're more brazen. I think they're a little bit more cheeky when they're on the pull.
Yeah,
spiders.
A bit more boisterous. They're showing off.
Exactly. You know. And
also, if you can't see them, you don't know they're there. That's fine. You can just ignore them.
Yeah, but the problem is when they come out, and they come out too often for me. It's like you see one in the the other night I was sitting in the kitchen and I saw one, a massive one. And I'm not overestimating it. Massive one sitting on the kitchen wall. I'm like, why sitting
looking at
like,
you?
Yeah. You make it sound like he's kind of relaxed, man. He's got his legs crossed.
got all eight
of them. Yeah, exactly. I'm just sitting here.
Yeah, it's just there's something about them. Like I often say, oh, this is celebrities, and for example, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Oh, they're getting paid loads of money and blah blah blah. But when I see the celebrities, in fairness to them, getting into a bath or getting into a room with hundreds of massive spiders, I actually say, hats off to you. I don't know if I do that. I don't know.
Dee, have you? Spider issues in the house?
Definitely more spiders than usual, but we've moved into a new house, so we thought maybe it was just our house, but maybe it's not. We actually went, there's a conker tree at the front of our estate, so we went and collected lots of conkers. Nobody, that's supposed to be one of these things that freaks them out. And the day after we put the conkers down in all the corners, we came out and there was just a huge spider sat on top of one of the conkers. We were like,
no way,
I don't think that's working.
Yeah.
Not a bother on him. We just gave him a little
sit. He was just trolling you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what we said. We were like, don't think that's working.
And that's the other thing as well, and it's full circle, the dad's thing. The problem is dads are seen as
the spider solver.
Spider solver, get rid of that spider. So, but what if dads are afraid of spiders? Is there anyone out there standing up for dads who actually, do you know what, have to get rid of it because the kid or other half or whatever does not want the spider in the house? But you mightn't fancy doing the job, but you have no choice.
Yeah, that's the setup in our house.
You look like you don't mind it.
My view is just leave them. I'm a big believer in just leaving the spider alone. Just get
what
on with their life.
In the kitchen?
Definitely. Just leave it alone.
But what if the kids point at it?
The kids don't like it in their bedroom. All right. Yeah. Then there's usually a kind of you've got to deal with this type of thing.
And how do you deal with it? Are you with
I just get them to go out of the room and then I go in and go near the spider and it'll scuttle off behind something and then I come back out and I say I got rid of it.
It's still in there. Your dad's a hero and actually the spider's now under their pillow.
Yeah, but the spider is completely harmless, Dee. I feel like I'm talking to my 8-year-old again. The spider is not going to do anything.
That's lying.
Think about how big you are to that spider, Dee. And imagine a spider that size walked into this room. The relative
that would be scary.
Would you think to yourself, oh, I'm gonna have a go at that? I fancy me a bit of that.
I'm not actually that frightened of spiders. I think I'm probably better than Shane.
Yeah.
But I definitely wouldn't like the size portions to change.
It sounds to me like Kieran is afraid of spiders, but is just afraid to admit it to himself. Yeah. He's going into rooms, just scurry off there and then saying, I don't want to touch it.
Yeah. Have you ever held a big one, a tarantula?
No.
Oh, it's amazing.
Not.
They're so light.
No.
They're so light. You kind of expect a bit of heft in it. Oh. And they're just...
Can you feel the furriness as they walk?
And not, you can, yeah, it tickles a little. Oh, you can't really. No, they're incredible. They're incredible to hold. That's it. Right, Claire, producer Claire, we'll get in somebody from Dublin Zoo next week with a tarantula for Shane.
Nope.
It'll be great. And you know what time it is? It's the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yeah, Dee and Shane are back with me for the last bit of the show. Almost Christmas, Dee. Have you got the shopping done?
Oh, all finished, yeah. No, God, no.
What are you buying the spider?
More conkers. They seem to enjoy
them. Conker house. Little doll's house, but conkers all over it. Look at them in there.
Yeah, 100 days this week to Christmas. It's 96 days today.
Okay.
I can't decide if that's too soon. I love Christmas, so I'm all for embracing it. Love Christmas stuff in shops. But I do enjoy Halloween, so I kind of like to get that out of the way before we celebrate too much.
You have to get into December, I think, before the Christmas.
Really?
December?
Not even November.
We'll obviously definitely get Halloween out of the way in October. But I even when I see it in the first, second week of November, I'm like, this is a long build-up. And I love Christmas.